6-3 the game. Broadcasting from the Busy Bee Plumbing, Heating, and Air Conditioning Game Nashville Studios, home of the $99 yearly Beehive membership, where the buzz is always about great service, and we are proudly presented by Bet365. Whatever the moment, it's never ordinary at Bet365. Derek Mason, Adam Vingan, Willie Donick, and David Janes here with you. I hope everybody had a wonderful weekend. I lost a fight to a bird feeder.
Please tell us. Exactly.
So if you're looking at the stream, you may see a little scar on my forehead. I ran into a bird feeder. It came out of nowhere.
Oh, I thought you were going to say that you were
a bird feeder here.
I was going to say, I thought you were going to have a story about you were putting up a bird feeder.
Yeah.
You wanted to do some bird watching, a bird bath.
Okay, was this in your yard? Or...
Yes. So we.
So how did the bird feeder come out of nowhere if it was in your yard?
It was one of those clear bird feeders that suctions to the outside of the window. Keep in mind, it is clear, translucent, as it were. And it hangs right over where our hose is. So I went to get the hose and just conked my forehead against this bird feeder. It didn't really hurt, but my son thought it was funny, and my wife thought it was funny. And I'm okay now, but it hurt like hell.
So how was your weekend, D-Mates?
Hey, I didn't run into any bird feeders.
Okay, I didn't either.
Thank goodness.
Know, I didn't run into anything that just magically appeared.
I'm telling you, it came out of nowhere.
Oh man, that's what they say when they're not paying attention. Officer, the speed limit came out of nowhere.
I didn't see the sign.
Exactly, I didn't see the sign.
Wait, did it just turn to 45?
It's blocked by a tree, some leaves, some ivy growing on the sign. You can't really see that.
But you know what, guys? I may have been bludgeoned by a bird feeder, but I'm here.
Yes.
It won't keep me out. I went through protocol.
Toughness.
I have been cleared. I am here. And now we have a Tennessee Titans draft class to talk about. The draft is finally over. The Titans drafted 9 players, of course, headlined by number 1 overall pick, Cam Ward. And we will hear today from Chad Brinker and Mike Borgonzi. They are scheduled to hold a post-draft news conference at 1 o'clock. We will carry that for you live. Teron Davenport, who normally joins us at 1 o'clock, will join us at 12:25 from ESPN. So, instead of going through every single player that the Titans drafted over the course of 3 days, I want to focus on the skill positions.
Mm-hmm.
So let's start with the receivers and tight end that the Titans brought in, and we'll get Derek Mason's expert analysis. So in the 4th round at pick number 103, the Tennessee Titans drafted Chimere Dike out of Florida, 42 receptions, 783 yards, and 2 touchdowns for the Gators last season, ran the 3rd fastest 40 at the combine, 4.34. Also in the 4th round, the 2nd of 3 4th round picks by the Tennessee Titans, Tennessee selected Gunnar Helm out of Texas, 60 receptions, 786 yards, and 7 touchdowns for the Longhorns. Later in the 4th round, Alec Iomanner out of Stanford at number 136, 63 receptions, 831 yards, and 6 touchdowns. And it was brought to my attention multiple times during the weekend that Iomanner had a breakout game against Colorado in 2023 against Travis Hunter. He had 294 receiving yards. So a lot of, well, Travis Hunter better get used to this because they're going to play 2 times a year, that sort of thing. And we'll talk about the undrafted free agent that the Titans brought in at wide receiver a little bit later. But Derek, when you look at DK and Iomanner, and you can also throw in Gunnar Helm in here if you'd like, what is your analysis of the pass catchers that the Titans brought in on the 2nd and 3rd days of the draft? Do you think that the Titans set up Cam Ward for success?
Let's just start with the tight end out of Texas.
Gunnar Helm.
Gunnar Helm. I watched him play, and I liked him during the year. Did I ever envision that the Titans would draft him? No, but I liked him as a tight end during the year. But obviously, he wasn't in my top two or three tight ends throughout the season. I think what you get with him is the sure-handed pass catcher. He has some athleticism to him. I don't know how he is as a blocker. But as a pass catcher, he seems to be a reliable pass catcher. He can present mismatches for opposing defenses. So I look at him and I look at that pick as I thought the Titans needed another tight end, a tight end that can be more versatile. And I think they got one in Gunnar Helm. Now look at the two wide receivers. DK, he ran a 4.3, but honestly, the kid looks like a 4.5, 4.6 out on the field. I don't see this necessarily the speed there. Again, he ran a 4.38, so I can't – the time doesn't lie. But when you look at his 4.38 and then you watch the film, it doesn't match. He's an inside guy. He ran a lot of crossing routes. He does catch the ball very well. That he does do. He and Gunnar Helm catches the ball very well. And he's a slot guy. He's not an outside guy. So unless, you know, my eyes were lying, that 4.3 on the clock didn't look like it on the field. But then again, hey, listen, the guy he produced, did he put up a lot of numbers? I'm not going to hold it against him that his numbers were not gaudy. But what he is a shorthanded pass catcher. And in this league, you can't have enough shorthanded pass catchers. But I just don't think they did anything for their receiving core. You look at the kid from Stanford, the numbers were good, but he's the possession receiver. He's a big body possession receiver. You know, he's not something that, you know, he's not a player that I look at and say, oh, my goodness, the Titans, you know, they got a steal in the, what was it, sixth round. No, he's a good player. Really good hands again, but he doesn't do anything that sort of wows you. He's just a football player, and there's nothing wrong with that. You need guys that can go out there and compete and catch the football. And these three guys that went and got, you can say that more times than not, these guys are going to catch the ball. And you need that for a young quarterback, if indeed they are in rotation. But outside of that, I don't think they made their receiving core any more explosive or dynamic than it was prior to the draft.
Now, Willie, you wanted the Titans to get more picks. They did not trade the number one overall pick, of course, but they did trade down in the second round from 35 to 52 with the Seahawks, picked up a third round pick, number 82, which the Titans did not have because of the L'Jarius Sneed trade last year. With that pick at 52, the Titans took Femi Oladejo, an edge rusher out of UCLA. And with that third round pick, number 82, they took Kevin Winston Jr. out of Penn State, a highly touted safety, but missed most of last season with a partially torn ACL that required surgery. And I did see a lot of the Titans took an injured player. And I know that that's a sore subject, but I know that Winston was, again, highly touted entering last season. He was the fourth-ranked safety, according to Dane Brugler, in the draft class. I think a lot of people expected Winston to be a first-round caliber pick had he not been injured. So, your thoughts on the Titans trading down in the second round. They pick up a third-round pick. They get an edge rusher and a safety. Your thoughts?
I think the trading down was good philosophy. You know me, I was consistent about this for months. The trading down to get more picks was something that they needed to do, did do there. I guess I would take it one step further, and I do hope today that particularly Chad Brinker is asked about the philosophy of not trading down for the first pick, knowing what we know now about the value of that pick and what could have been, because it was Brinker that said that he had a goal of getting a certain amount of top 100 picks over the next 3 years. And that was a nice move to move down, it seems like. Only time will tell if they've hit on these picks. But I think that's the philosophy. But they didn't use the same philosophy knowing they had a chance to do that with the first pick. I'm not going to tell you that I know anything about the safety and how good he is and the strengths. Mm-hmm. But in reading that he was a first-round pick that you got in the third round because of the ACL, I think that is sensible drafting philosophically. It'd be one thing if you took a guy who had an ACL in the first round. That's what they did with Caleb Farley, right? He had an ACL injury. They took him in the first round. They took a guy with a first-round grade that was downgraded because of an ACL and got him in the third round. I think that makes a lot more sense. And most of the time in today's age of the medical advancements, I think you can bet on a guy recovering in time from an ACL. Doesn't happen every time, and it doesn't happen right away. But if it's done right, I think you can reasonably say a young player will bounce back from an ACL.
Derek, I'm curious why you think the Titans are seemingly allergic to drafting wide receivers in the first three rounds. DK was a fourth-round pick. Aya Manor was a fourth-round pick. Last year, Jaquan Jackson was a sixth-round pick. The year before that, Colton Dowell was a seventh-round pick. By my rough count, the Titans have drafted five receivers within the first three rounds over the past 10 years. Treylon Burks, A.J. Brown, Corey Davis, Tywan Taylor, and Doriel Green Beckham. Five receivers taken.
Tywan Taylor. I totally forgot about him.
Tywan Taylor, yes. Or Taywan, I should say, not Tywan.
Yeah, Taywan.
Sorry. I've got Asia on the brain.
Western Kentucky, right?
Is yes. Taywan Taylor. Taywan Taylor was a third-round pick, number 72 overall in 2017. So they have taken five receivers within the first three rounds in the past 10 years. And one thing I meant to do this weekend but didn't, and I think I will sometime this week, is I want to see where that compares to the rest of the league. Because that doesn't seem like a lot. Again, five receivers taken by the Titans within the first three rounds over the past 10 drafts. So we were talking about on Friday the idea, hey, maybe they take Luther Burden at number 35 or one of the receivers out of Iowa State. They ultimately decided to trade down. So I'm curious for your opinion, Derek, why the Titans seem so hesitant, perhaps, to draft receivers within the first 2 days of the draft.
I'm not sure why this year or even last year they chose not to draft a receiver in the first two rounds. Now, you probably could have looked at it as this year, the proper receivers after the first three or four, you know, all of them are really jumbled up together. So regardless if you got them in the fourth, second, third or fifth, you know, they were all going to be the same type of receiver. Last year, maybe they thought by having Hopkins and getting Ridley, they didn't need to draft a wide receiver that high. But outside of that, I mean, outside of A.J. Brown and Corey Davis, their high picks haven't worked out for them. And you can't, I think it's going to be difficult. And maybe they do it next year. Maybe they go into next year's because, you know, we've talked about this. They have so many needs that, you know, you can't fill them all in one draft or all in one free agency. It's a thing that it's multiple years. So maybe next year they go out and draft a receiver in the first round. But I mean, they haven't been able to, you know, get the bang for their buck with their receivers outside of A.J. Brown and Corey Davis. So them moving up in the draft or them drafting a quarterback, me and wide receiver high, I don't think that was high on their priority. But they got to understand, as this young quarterback grows, he's going to need some young dynamic receivers to go along with him. It's tough for a quarterback when he doesn't have that type of guy, especially in today's football. If you look at all the young quarterbacks around the NFL, they have them a dynamic, explosive player, maybe even two. And that's where the Titans need to get to with Cam Ward, because eventually Calvin Ridley will be fading out. And I'm not saying it's going to happen within the next year or two, but eventually as he gets older, he's going to end up fading out. They got to find a receiver that's explosive. Why do you think Baltimore went out and got Zay Flowers? Because they wanted him to grow with Lamar Jackson, and look at what he's able to do. The Tennessee Titans need them a receiver of that matter, a young guy. I think Calvin Ridley is great, but they need a young guy to grow with this quarterback. And I'm not sure why they didn't take a chance. There must have been something really in Luther Burden's background that caused them not to draft him, and a lot of other teams in the first two rounds for that matter.
This is the catch 22 of not trading down from the first pick. Of course, I could argue if they had moved down, they would have had the extra picks to go get somebody like that. If they really like Burden, they would have had the ability to be able to take Burden and fill some of these other holes that are still enormous holes that they have to fill. That's how you build a roster, by trading down. But, of course, you lose out on the guy that they really believe in. We know that, in Cam Ward. And they felt like Ward is that valuable. So once they made that decision, I think they knew they couldn't get everybody they wanted. They wanted to try to scatter around and fill as many holes as they can and go from there. But that's precisely why I thought they should have traded down and taken the package offered by the Giants, even if it meant they couldn't get Cam Ward.
I'm always a bit wary looking at draft grades right after the draft happened. Mm-hmm. But Mel Kiper, and we'll talk about Mel Kiper later. He had quite the weekend. Mel Kiper gave the Titans a B+, and he wrote this as part of his grade analysis. Quote, getting the quarterback was the easy part. The roster lacked legitimate pass catchers behind Calvin Ridley, even after signing Tyler Lockett this week. It's not for a lack of trying. The Titans have drafted 6 receivers in the past 4 drafts. Nothing worked. But the stakes are higher with Ward under center. And because the Titans traded back from number 35, they had to fish for impact receivers later in the draft. They took Chimere Dike at number 103, but the pick I really liked at the position was Elik Iomanner at number 136. He was 79th on my big board. Iomanner makes contested catches, 34 over the past 2 seasons, and hauls in the deep ball. But Derek, quickly, here's just a sampling of your quarterback, excuse me, your wide receiver roster after the draft. You've got Calvin Ridley and Tyler Lockett. You have Van Jefferson. You have DK. You have Iomanner. You have Xavier Restrepo, who we'll talk about here in just a little bit. Treylon Burks, Bryce Oliver, Jaquan Jackson, Mason Kinsey, Colton Dowell. What do you make of that group? How many diamonds in the rough, perhaps, can you find in that group?
I mean, you can. You would hope there would be a few of them, at least one out of this depth chart. You look at it, but outside of Calvin Ridley and the things that Tyler Lockett has done, and you're getting Tyler Lockett more so on the downside. He's still going to give you good football, but he's not the player that he once was. And maybe, again, it was the targets that he didn't get in Seattle last year. And if he get those targets or close to it, then maybe he can become a 1,000-yard receiver once again. But outside of Calvin Ridley and Tyler Lockett, you don't have much football being played by these guys. Treylon Burks can't stay on the field. Vance Johnson has went from team to team to team, even though I think Van Johnson is a good player. And then you have a bunch of first and rookie, you know, guy Bryce Oliver, who I think is a good player, but how much are these guys moving the needle? So, you know, when you look at this receiver room, and you try to mirror it up with Cam Ward and his ability to play the quarterback position, he's gonna have to elevate a lot of these guys if indeed he does become the starter. He's gonna have to elevate a lot of these guys, or I mean, you know, this Titans offense is not going to be not going to be as explosive as it needs to be in this division, because you go to the Jacksonville Jaguars, you go to Indianapolis Colts, and obviously the Houston Texans. They got explosive players on the offensive side of the ball, in particular the receiver position. The Titans don't have many yet outside of Calvin Ridley that have shown. And hopefully, you know, maybe these guys come into camp and they wow everybody. I hope that is the case. But right now, you're looking at a solid receiving.
615-737-1025. Our text line is down at the moment. So if you have thoughts, call us. 615-737-1025. I know a lot of people don't like to call in general anymore, but call us. 615-737-1025. You can join us, DVD, on location, as our show will be broadcasting from Ascent Building's hiring event on Wednesday from 11 a.m. to 2 p.m. in Portland at 214 Fountainhead Road. The hiring fair runs from 9 a.m. to 3 p.m., and there will be food trucks during the lunch hour. More details at thegamenashville.com/events. This week's Nashville's best deal is Prince's Hot Chicken, the original and iconic hot chicken joint. For a limited time, grab half off a $25 gift card at thegamenashville.com/deals. Willie Darnick, Derek Mason, Adam Vingan here with you talking about the Titans draft class of 2025. They drafted two receivers, Chimere Dike out of Florida and Alec Iemanner out of Stanford in the fourth round. But I would venture to say that Titans fans were most excited about a receiver that the Titans did not draft. They brought him in as an undrafted free agent, that being Xavier Restrepo. Now, Xavier Restrepo, according to our friend Teron Davenport, who again will join us a little bit earlier today at around 12:25, he was Cam Ward's favorite target at Miami last season. Restrepo recorded 69 catches for 1,127 yards and 11 touchdowns last season for the Hurricanes. Over his five-year career, Restrepo finished as Miami's all-time leader in receptions, receiving yards, and receiving touchdowns. He also holds the record for the most 100-yard games in Miami history. Now, Derek, when we were talking about DK, we talked about his combine speed. He ran a 4.34 at the combine. That was the third fastest 40 measured. But you said that DK doesn't play like he has 4.34 speed. One thing that seemed to hinder Restrepo's draft stock was that he ran a 4.87 in the 40-yard dash at Miami's Pro Day, according to Teron Davenport. So let's kind of flip that, what we were talking about before with DK. Mm-hmm. So Restrepo ran a 4.87. Does he play like he runs a 4.87? And what are your thoughts on Restrepo and his chemistry with Cam Ward?
I just, for the record, want to say I ran a 4.83 back in the day. I was, it was a strict 4.83 on the clock in the preseason. Vanderbilt basketball, run the 40. Why we're running the 40? I don't really think the 40 applies to basketball. The court is literally not 40 yards long, but we did it.
All right, if you are aggregating,
I can imagine
this,
Willie running the 40. Oh my goodness!
If you are aggregating this, Xavier Restrepo barely ran a faster 40 than Willie Donick.
Yeah, there you go. Now that should be the label on him.
And what year was this, Willie?
This would be 1990.
Okay.
Yeah.
So, Derek, Restrepo running a poor 40 at the Pro Day, clearly it must have had some sort of effect on his draft stock because he did not go drafted. But knowing, like, evaluating him, do you see that as a hindrance?
I think the opposite is for him. When I look at DK and I look at, you know, the guy ran a fast 40, but then you watch him on film and it doesn't seem as fast. Restrepo is the total opposite. Is he ran a slow 40, but he plays quicker. He doesn't have long speed. He's not showing long speed, but he plays a lot quicker in that short, that short yardage speed that you need from like 10, from 5 to like 12, he shows that. He has the ability to play all the positions. You can motion him. He's tough. I think what hurts him is that he's a smaller receiver and he ran a slow time. But again, you watch him on tape, you see him making the tough catches. You see him, you know, outrunning people. You see him, and the kid had 11 touchdowns last year. He averaged over 16 yards per reception. So he's getting down the field. He's not a guy with great speed, but he knows how to get deep. See, there's a difference between, you know, a fast guy running deep and a guy knowing how to get deep. It's all about setting a defender up, stacking him, and getting on top of him, making every route look the same. And Xavier Restrepo is one of those guys where every route looks the same. So if he's running a 9, you don't know if he's running an out. You don't know if he's running an in or nonstop. So you got to play everything, which allows you to then, you know, use what many consider a hindrance. You use it in your lack of speed because you don't know which route I'm running and I'm running right by you. He was able to do that. So he plays faster, not a lot faster. I'm not saying he plays like a 4.3 guy, but he doesn't play like his time suggests. He plays more like a 4-5 guy, with really short space, quickness, and he catches the ball. This is the theme I think the Titans are going with. Two themes. One in free agency was you gotta be available. So they went and got guys that were not injured. And it seems in the draft, you gotta be reliable pass catchers. That's what they need in this offense. And each guy that they've went and got, they don't wow you with anything, but they do catch the football and they are tough.
I'm always willing to take a shot, especially an undrafted guy who has had extreme production at a high college level, right?
Yes.
And even at a lower level, but extreme production I think is always worth giving a look to. And this guy not only produced last year with Cam Ward, but Cam Ward was only the quarterback at Miami for 1 year, and you told me he is the all-time leading receiver at Miami?
He's the all-time leader in receptions, receiving yards, and receiving touchdowns.
Now, just jarring people's memory, Miami's had some pretty good wide receivers.
Indeed.
And that doesn't mean everything, right? I'm not saying he's going to be Michael Irvin or pick your favorite Miami wide receiver, but that's noteworthy.
The text line is working, so call us and
all
text
right.
us, 615-737-1025. Yes. Matt in Nashville says, Willie, was that 4-8 timed with an analog stopwatch or digital, and was it wind dated?
It was legit. It was legit. It was the electronic. I don't know if you ever ran one like this, D-Mace, but you push down, like you get into your three-point, you know, whatever your on-your-mark stance is. You put your hand down on the timer, and as your hand lifts up, that's when the clock starts. So it's not like maybe somebody gave me a generous click. And then it was, you know, electronically when you went across the line. It wasn't the stopwatch. It was electronic.
So?
It was legit. It was legit.
It was legit. It wasn't breaking no records, but it was legit.
Now, I didn't check the wind. Now, that is a fair question. The wind might have been. It's possible. It's possible.
So you got wind aided?
Maybe. Maybe.
So
I do think in baseball, the 60 is the big one, right? So if the Blue Jays spring training, we ran the 60, and I ran a good one. The best one I ever ran. And I do think one of the first guys this coach would always love to give me a hard time. He said, I think that was wind aided. I was like, come on, man. But he was right though. That one absolutely was wind aided.
615-7.
It can help.
615-737-1025. Our text line is operational, so text us. You can also call us. Give us your thoughts on the Titans draft class, the signing of undrafted free agent Xavier Restrepo. I also just want to highlight, and we'll do this coming up next, Jared Stillman had a banner freaking day on social media on Saturday. He had some amazing ratios with some of the takes that he had.
And don't by
the
encourage
way,
him.
Ratios are bad. But there was one about Xavier Restrepo that I do want Willie and Derek's reactions to.
When you say a banner day,
yes.
Yeah. What does that mean?
Is that good?
Is that banner as in good? Or
exactly.
I meant it. I meant
clicks?
It more tongue-in-cheek. Like, okay. We will get to that next.
It's six, like when one, the Colts had that, what was it? Like they were the same place team for the AFC. It's like that.
Right. Remember, they lifted the banner that said AFC finalist. Exactly. They didn't win the AFC championship game, but they participated in it.
Okay.
We'll get to that next. 615-737-1025, as well as your reaction. It's time for the fourth annual 615 Open Charity Golf Tournament benefiting Folds of Honor, presented by Gary Force Acura at Hermitage Golf Course on Thursday, May 29th. You can sign up to play or sponsor at 615open.com. D-Mace Finnegan and Donick, 1025, 1063 The Game, talking NFL draft. Now that it's over, your thoughts on the Titans draft class. Let's go to Tim on our phone line, driven by Wilson County, Hyundai.com. Tim, thank you for calling. Please go ahead.
Hey, guys, you think maybe over the years the Titans would learn from mistakes they've made in the past, but obviously we don't. We don't have a third-round pick this year, so we trade back to get one, which I said, that's a good move. Maybe we need a third-round pick. And what do? We go out and draft another Caleb Farley.
Well, Tim, thank you for the call.
He tore his ACL. He only played 4 games last year, and we draft him.
Well, I would say the difference – thank you for the call, Tim. The difference between Kevin Winston, who tore his ACL, and Caleb Farley, who, if I recall correctly, had significant back issues –
yeah, he had more than just the ACL.
Right. Those situations are night and day. Now, I understand Titans fans seeing Kevin Winston missing most of last season with a knee injury and saying, here we go again. But I don't think it's fair to compare, Willie, Kevin Winston to the injuries that Caleb Farley had coming out of college. They were much more significant.
But again, I'll make the point I made in the first segment. We're talking about taking a guy that was potentially a first-round talent in the third round. That is why he's there in the third round.
That as well.
And also, everybody likes to bring up Caleb Farley. Not as many people bring up Jeffrey Simmons, who had the identical situation. He had a torn ACL. They took him in the first round. That one worked out right. People don't like, here go the Titans again, taking a guy like Jeffrey Simmons in the first round for a torn ACL. Well, nobody calls and says that. They always are, well, they use Farley. It absolutely, literally worked with Simmons, and they're taking this kid in the third round.
That's different. Look at it. Yeah, it's different from the standpoint of, I think Caleb Farley injury was a little bit more extensive. I think there were more problems, future problems, than say with Winston and his injury. And I think the Titans, either if they didn't know it, they should have known it. But when you do things like that, what is the first thing fan base is going to say? Here we go, draft and injured guys, because it's not just drafting injured guys. It's going out and getting injured free agents and bringing them in. So, yeah, you're right, Willing. Not too many people talk about, well, Jeffrey Simpson was injured. I understand that. But what the Titans fans are looking at, not just the drafting of an injured player, it's the bringing injured players in as free agents. And when you look at this guy, see, the Titans, they want so many picks within the next couple of years, within the next 100 picks, however. But I see people, they look at this and say, you can take a chance. This is a flyer because he was a guy that was supposed to be drafted. He was a first round grade, but he ended up getting injured, didn't play. So that slipped him down to the third. If maybe the Kansas City Chiefs, the Baltimore Ravens, somebody like that was drafting his kid, then it was like, okay. But again, the Titans are not in a place where they can hope and pray. Oh, he slipped to us, but he's injured. We got to hope and pray that he can come back and be the player that we think he can be. You have no margin for error here because you're trying to build an organization back up. So you may not be able to take flyers just because the guy wasn't drafted. Just because the guy had a first round grade and because of his injury, you end up drafting him in the third round or fourth round. That may not be a good thing. You know, yeah, you look at it as a steal, but you don't have time to, or you don't have the luxury of taking flyers or taking chances on individuals right about now.
Okay. So before the break, I mentioned Jared's, I believe it was his Saturday on social media. So Jordan Schultz tweeted this: Cam Ward was a major advocate internally for the Titans to sign Xavier Restrepo. Some instant synergy for the number one overall pick with his former star receiver at Miami. Love to see it. To which Jared quote tweeted it and said this: I thought Brinker wanted to be the Green Bay Packers. You know, the team that didn't listen to Aaron Rodgers and now they're listening to a rookie? Let me read to you these stats. It's been retweeted 17 times. Liked 21 times, and replied to 59 times. That's an excellent ratio. And by excellent, I mean bad. Like, you don't want to be ratioed like that. So I did not text Jared this, and I'm going to ask him about this take and another one that he had over the weekend when he joins us at the end of the show. But, Willie, Jared, I thought Brinker wanted to be the Green Bay Packers. You know, the team that didn't listen to Aaron Rodgers, and now they're listening to a rookie. Your thoughts?
What evidence does he have that they go to Cam? Say, Cam, who do you want us to sign? Who do you want us to sign?
It's the wording of the tweet from Jordan Schultz that he was a major advocate internally for the Titans to sign Xavier Restrepo.
It's an undrafted free agent.
That's
by definition. Those guys are flyers, yeah. Right? Those are all flyers, and they are is Jared basically suggesting that they had never seen this kid play until Cam Ward said, hey, there's this kid that plays with me in Miami. You need to take a look at him. Oh, really? Okay, we'll sign him. We've never seen him play, but yeah, let's sign him. You think that's what happened?
I mean, do you think there's?
I mean, there is a little bit of logic. Hey, these guys had a little chemistry. You could see it happening. And I pointed out he's a productive player throughout his college career, not just the 1 year he played with Cam Ward.
Yeah, I can say it probably, you know, it probably went like, hey, he's out there. Let's give Cam a call, see what he thinks, even though they probably heard Cam talk about him a lot. But let him know, hey, listen, we're thinking about bringing, you know, your former teammate Xavier in. As an undrafted free agent, and he probably responded by saying yes, please bring him. You know, it would be he would add so much to the offense. So, being an advocate for someone doesn't necessarily mean, oh, you made the call, you went into the war room and said you need to sign Xavier Restrepo. No, they probably asked you, and he probably, you know, told him what he felt about him, and I'm sure it was all good.
The scouting report on Xavier Restrepo, according to Dane Brugler, who had him as his wide receiver 25.
And this was where?
In
the Beast.
Wide receiver 25. With his production the past two seasons, he passed Reggie Wayne for the most receiving yards in school history and set the Hurricanes' all-time record for catches. A hard-nosed physical receiver, Restrepo consistently finds open space, and his efficiency transitioning from pass catcher to ball carrier might be what he does best to maximize each target. Though he is a smallish target and more quick than fast, he knows his physical limitations and doesn't try to be something he isn't. Overall, it can be easy to get caught up in Restrepo's lack of top-tier size/speed traits, but his toughness and dependability securing grabs will give him a chance to carve out a productive slot role in the NFL. His competitive nature and football instincts are similar stylistically to the traits of Julian Edelman. And Derek, there's one thing in here that I want you to expand on. So Brugler writes, though he is a smallish target and more quick than fast. What does he mean by there? More quick than fast.
Getting from point lateral speed, getting from point A to B, being able to run those quick outs, those quick whip routes, separating quickly at the line of scrimmage, being able to get out of your break. Some guys are fast, but when you ask them to do sort of these quick mirrored routes, they can't drop their hips and they can't get out of their break quick enough. He's one of those guys that doesn't have great speed, but you know his lateral, you know, lateral speed and his short yardage speed is excellent, and that's why he's been able to, you know, have the numbers that he has. If the clock says he ran a 4.6, you wonder how can a guy at 4.6, you know, a smallish frame, put up the numbers that he did at the University of Miami. Well, it's because of his quickness. He's able to separate from a defender and get that space needed for the quarterback to throw the football. It's all about separation. I don't care how fast you are. If you're not getting no separation on those in-breaking or out-breaking or slants or curls, if you're not getting any separation, if you can't drop your hips and get out of your break, I mean, you're just a fast guy. That's all you are. But Restrepo is able to, you know, get out of his breaks quickly and separate very quickly. So that works to his advantage.
Maddie on our text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, says there's a video out there where Titans brass told Restrepo that Cam had been calling them since the fourth round trying to get them to pick him. Either way, he was the best wide receiver undrafted. They would have been interested either way and are blessed to get him. Another texter said,
if they had drafted him in the fourth round, I think Jared would have a point.
Yes.
That would be a legit question to ask.
Exactly.
If Cam Ward is now joining your player evaluation team. but to take a flyer on him, he's qualified to be an undrafted free agent.
Yes.
So I will let that slide.
Exactly.
And it's something that might work.
Anthony in our text line says, we are a circus franchise. That was me adding it. That was not written in the text.
He didn't text that out?
No. Being advised by the rookie, Hall of Fame quarterback, and retiring his number for someone who hasn't earned or proven blank. Meanwhile, Lawrence Taylor tells Abdul Carter to find a new number. Now, what if Cam turns out to be Marcus? Then what?
Stop it. He's a free agent, a rookie free agent. That's what he is. They didn't have to waste. They didn't have to spend a pick on him. They didn't have to do anything but give him probably a small signing bonus and say, hey, try to make the team. If you make it, great. If you don't, then so be it.
But Anthony is also lumping in the fact that Warren Moon blessed Cam Ward with the number one, for lack of a better
word. Well, we hit this on Friday after the news came down. I think it would be different if Warren Moon had played in Nashville.
Exactly.
I think it would be very different. And I think I would – look, I don't know how Warren Moon would have felt, but I think Warren Moon sees that people in Nashville they don't have any connection with him. It's different than Lawrence Taylor in New York. That's very, very different. But I do think that it just shows some gumption that Cam Ward would, because it sounds like all of this was initiated by Cam Ward, right? He called Warren Moon,
I believe,
right,
that is
and
correct.
Said, "Is it okay if I wear number one?" He did do that, right?
I think so. I'm not quite sure.
I believe
about
Cam
that.
Ward reached out to Warren Moon, if I recall correctly,
and asked his permission behind the scenes.
Yes.
And that still shows a little bit of, hey, I think I'm pretty good. Like to do that before you've ever taken a snap. Now I
the kid's got moxie.
I can't see that as being a is this really worth it? You really want to wear number one that bad, because it's going to be used against you if you flop, right? But the fact that Warren Moon says, look, I have no connection with Nashville. They wear different uniforms. It's called something different. That's very different than Lawrence Taylor giving up 56. Very
different. I think there are going to be a facet of people that when they see Cam Ward in the number one jersey, they're not going to think Warren Moon. They're just not. And it's going to be more so like Titan fans, not fans that were fans of the Houston Oilers, not even fans that were fans of the Tennessee Oilers when they were here. I'm talking about the Tennessee Titans. I think it's going to be fans that look at it and their first thought is going to be Cam Ward. And that's what you want as an organization, I believe. Listen, would I have liked for the young kid to prove himself and then, you know, get that number bestowed on him? Absolutely. I think that would have been sort of the more grander way to do it. It's like, oh, he's proven himself. Let's give him this coveted number one that we retire. To me, that means like, okay, you've done it. Like you've arrived, young man. Here you go. But they didn't do it that way. I truly believe it was the Titans' way at separating the Houston Oilers and the Tennessee Titans for the Tennessee Titan fan. Not to say that they're going to forget about the Houston Oilers, but I think for Titan fans that were not fans in 1997 or 98 or 99. We're talking about fans in the 2000s where they just recognize their team. They don't recognize the Houston Oilers. So I think this was a good way of giving them their quarterback, because they haven't had their quarterback, even Steve McNair to an extent.
But I would say, Derek, if he had asked to wear number nine, that's a no-go. That is not discussable. Number nine is not discussable. Number one, it's a separate category.
Steve's number represent the Tennessee Titans. When people think of number nine, they think of Tennessee Titans. When you think of number one, you think of the Houston Oilers. I think it was much easier for them to say yes to the number one after Warren Moon said yes, but say yes to the number one to say yes to the number nine. Even had, you know, Steve's, you know, surviving wife, even if she, Michelle, would have said, yeah, he can have the number nine, I think the organization still would have been like, no.
615-737-1025. By the way, according to Teron Davenport, Moon said he was taken aback about a month ago when he received a call from Ward, who asked about the jersey number. So he indeed did reach out to Warren Moon. 615-737-1025. Coming up next, we've got to talk about the main character of the 2025 NFL Draft, Shedeur Sanders. A lot to get to there. We'll do that next. 615-737-1025. Willie Darnick, Derek Mason, Adam Bingham, 1025, 1063, The Game.